enjoys receiving a compliment. I think it's just a part of our nature as human beings to enjoy somebody giving us a compliment, saying, you know, that's a job well done, or, you know, I appreciate what you've done, or, you know, keep up the good work that you're doing. A compliment can encourage us. A compliment can build us up. And I think we need to practice the art of giving compliments much more than we do. Compliments that are honestly given, I believe, would solve many of the problems today in our homes and on our jobs and even in our world as a whole. On the other hand, I don't think any of us enjoy being ridiculed. You know, some people just by nature are always finding something to ridicule. They're always finding something to criticize. It's like this elderly lady that she owned an orchard, an apple orchard. And this lady was just very, very negative about everything. She went to church and, you know, the preacher there knew this about this lady. But, you know, one year, this lady, they had a bumper crop of apples. I mean, it was just unbelievable. He finally said, well, I've got something that she can't criticize. And he went over to her house and talked to her about this bumper crop of apples and how proud she must be. And she said, well, there won't be any rotten ones for the pigs this year. You see, she found something negative, something to criticize in something that was very, very good. None of us want to be ridiculed. We don't want to be criticized. That makes us feel bad. You know, people can ridicule. They can slander somebody for a number of different reasons. I think we're aware of that. Some people are very envious and jealous of other people. Somebody may be jealous of another person because of the upbringing they had. They didn't have that, and they're jealous of that. Maybe they're jealous of another person's family, or they're jealous of another person's accomplishments. Sometimes people will criticize others and ridicule others, maybe bring slander because it makes them look better in their own eyes. And of course, when it comes to the political arena today, certainly when election time comes, we are aware of the various commercials that come on television promoting various candidates. But instead of promoting the good points of the candidates, many times there are slanderous accusations, many times false accusations, toward the opponent. You know, people can ridicule and people can criticize. But tonight I want to suggest to you that sometimes an intended ridicule, a harsh statement, even a supposed insult, can actually turn out to be a great compliment. And I think we find that to be true in our text tonight of Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. I want to read it again tonight in your hearing. The Bible says, "Then drew near to him," that is Jesus, "all the publicans," that is the tax collectors and sinners, "to hear him." And the Bible says, "The Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, 'This man," talking about Jesus, "receives sinners and eats with them.'" Now, the scribes and the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. They held an elevated position among the people because of who they were religiously. And oh, how they hated Jesus. They envied him tremendously because he was stealing their thunder. He was receiving all the notoriety. The common people were following him. And so when the common people heard Jesus speak, the Pharisees and scribes, who were also keeping up with Jesus and what was going on, they said, you know, this man, he receives sinners and he eats with them. That was really a demeaning insult to our Lord. That was the intention. But you know, this intended hurt, this supposed ridicule, turned out to be the greatest compliment that our Lord ever received. What the Pharisees intended to be so very slanderous, a statement of ridicule, turned out to be a wonderful compliment of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Pharisees certainly didn't mean it that way. They wanted to do everything they could to hurt our Lord. They sought opportunity to even kill our Lord. They sought to entrap him on numerous occasions. But this slanderous statement turned out to be a compliment. And tonight, for the next few minutes, I want to challenge your thinking as we think about how this was, in fact, a great compliment paid the Lord. First of all, I think this was a great compliment paid Jesus Christ because receiving sinners was the mission of Jesus Christ to begin with. You know, this is what Jesus stated time and time again as being his purpose. In Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and save the lost." In Matthew chapter 10, I should say Mark chapter 10, in verse 45, Jesus said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." See, our Lord came to this earth to do the business of his Father in heaven. You recall as a boy in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, when he had been missing for 3 days as his parents left Jerusalem to go back home. They went back to find him and they found him in the temple talking to the lawyers and the teachers of the day. And Jesus spoke those words to his parents, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" Even at a very young age, Jesus knew his purpose here in this life. Jesus said in John 4 and verse 34, "My meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Jesus said, "My total existence, the reason that I'm alive today, is to do and to accomplish the will of my Father." In Luke 4 and verse 43, Jesus said, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because that's the reason I am sent." You know, the reason Jesus Christ came to this world was to save sinners. Jesus came to this world to receive sinners. And so the Pharisees here intended this statement to be a great insult. They intended it to be a statement of ridicule. But actually, they paid our Lord a great compliment when they said, "This man receives sinners and he eats with them." Now, I want to ask ourselves a question tonight. Isn't it true that the mission of Jesus is to be our mission today? You know, we sing songs like, you know, "More Like Jesus." We hear sermons and lessons about walking in the footsteps of Jesus. People wear bracelets with WWJD. What would Jesus do? Religious people in general talk about being like Jesus. Now, if we're going to follow Jesus and emulate Jesus, his purpose must be our purpose. And therefore, our purpose in life is to seek and save the lost. Our purpose in this life is to bring glory and honor to God. We asked the kids during kids' sing, "Why were you made?" And they answered, "To glorify God. Do we glorify God in our everyday lives? You know, this is a really tough challenge for us to think about sometimes. If we are to emulate Jesus, and if His mission is our mission, then our focus must be almost entirely upon fulfilling that mission. And once I consider the prospect of that, it really changes everything in my life. If my mission is to seek and save the lost, if my mission is to bring glory and honor to God, it changes my entire attitude. I watch the words that I speak. I watch the places that I go. I'm concerned about my influence. My selfish wants and desires no longer come into play, but instead I'm thinking about what Jesus wants me to do and what's going to bring honor and glory to His name. And so this was a compliment, actually, because that was our Lord's mission to begin with, to receive sinners. But I also think that this was a compliment, a great compliment paid our Lord, because our Lord left the glories of heaven for this very purpose. Have you ever really considered what God gave up in sending His Son to come to this earth? Have you considered what Jesus gave up when He left the glories of heaven? I think we're familiar with Philippians 2, beginning in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, you have the mind of Christ. You try to emulate Christ and His humility. The Bible says that He was in the form of God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant, and was made into the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, notice it now, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, our Lord's mission involved Him leaving the glories of heaven. He came to this earth to receive sinners. He came to this earth to save those that were lost. You know, the greatest missionary journey that's ever taken place was out of this world. And that is when Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to come and live among men. What a great distance to travel. What a tremendous display of love. Jesus was God's sacrificial lamb to take away the sins of the world, and Jesus willingly gave Himself for that purpose. John would say in John 1 verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 says that He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And so you see, the Pharisees, when they said this man receives sinners and eats with them, was paying our Lord a compliment, because our Lord left the glories of heaven for that very purpose, to save sinners. But I believe this ridicule the Pharisees intended toward our Lord was also a compliment, because it demonstrates God's great love. You know, God's love for us, God's love for sinners, God's love for the lost motivated Him in His plan to ultimately send His Son to be the sacrificial lamb for our sins. We quote John 3:16. Sometimes we don't even think about that verse. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5 and verse 8. And this great love of God was demonstrated by Him sending His Son, not just for a few select people, but He sent His Son to die for all people. And everyone has the opportunity to obey His will and be saved. You know, God loved us so very much. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God's love ought to let me know that I have great hope. God's love ought to let me know that once in a very hopeless situation, now I have hope if I will submit to Him. I am a sinner tonight. I was once lost. I was once without Christ. I once was doomed. I was condemned eternally. But God sent Jesus to take my place and your place so that we might have the hope of eternal life. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3 and verse 10. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. But it's wonderful to note tonight that the Bible says Christ received sinners. It's wonderful to know tonight that Jesus Christ would actually eat with me. You know, yesterday I had the opportunity to attend the Alabama-LSU football game. And it just so happened that there was a special visitor yesterday, the President of the United States of America. And oh, you could tell just by being there that something special was happening. And by the way, that wasn't my picture you saw on television. So please, please understand that. I've received texts and messages from people all over this country thinking they saw me on television yesterday. I saw five people at the funeral this afternoon that said, "I thought I saw you on television yesterday." It was not me. All right, just clarify that while I'm taking care of this. Well, anyhow, yesterday the president was there. I mean, you ought to have seen the security that was there. Bomb-sniffing dogs. There were special Secret Service agents all through the crowd. It was just something to behold. And then to see the President of the United States up in that particular area that he was in, and to know that the most powerful man in the free world was right there. Now I wonder what would have happened if I tried to make my way over there to that booth that he was in, and I said, "Well, I'd just like to say a few words of thanks to the president. I'd like to visit with him." Well, before I could even begin to get close, I would be thrown to the ground. I'd be carried away in handcuffs. It would be more possible for me to let Nick Saban dress me out as a running back and have a carry on the football field than it would be to have a word with the president. It's just not going to happen. But guess what? Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ created all things. By Him, all things were made. By Him, all things consist. And you know what? Jesus Christ would talk with me. He would have eaten with me. He would have taken time for me. He would have eaten with the worst sinner you could possibly imagine tonight. He would take interest in anyone regardless of their social status. But you know, even though the president's not someone that we can really communicate with and get close to, we have an avenue of prayer open to our great God, the creator of this world, and how we ought to realize that God's love is something that is demonstrated in such a way that we see it manifested on every hand if we will but open up our eyes to it. You see, these Pharisees and scribes intended an insult. This man receives sinners. He eats with them. But what a great compliment that was. Because Jesus Christ came for that very purpose, to seek and save the lost. But lastly tonight, as I close, I want to suggest to you that this supposed slander was also a great compliment, because it tells me and it tells you that we have hope. Where would we be without hope today? We think about all the distresses that come our way in life, the personal problems. I think about several people that I know who've been diagnosed with that terrible disease of cancer. They've been told they have very little time to live. There are many who are just heartbroken for various reasons. Man born of woman, Job says, is full of trouble. How could we go on if we didn't have hope for a better day in the future? What would be our motivation to continue in the midst of catastrophes, crisis that comes into our lives? Where would the motivation be to hang in there if it wasn't for the hope that we have as Christians? But you see, our hope today is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Savior if we obey Him. And He earnestly calls us to come to Him. He said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." I think about what Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 24. He said, "We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, you know, whatever he has, you know, why does he hope for it?" But he goes on to say, "But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." You know, Jesus Christ, because of what He did, because He took your place and my place on the cross and shed His blood for the remission of our sins, because of Him and only because of Him, we have hope for eternal life. This is not blind hope. It's hope with desire, with expectation, and anticipation. Our hope is sure and steadfast. It's not something that can ever be taken away. It's the hope that sustains us. It's the hope that allows us to carry on through the difficult times of life. And the gospel that we have today gives us that hope that we need so desperately. That's why Jesus commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The reason that's true is because the gospel is the only hope that we have. Romans 1 verse 16 says the gospel is God's power unto salvation. And this gospel can save us and redeem us and give us hope. But it can only give hope to those who are willing to submit to the gospel and obey it. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. And we obey the gospel when we in sincerity believe in Jesus Christ as being the Son of God. We believe in who He is. We believe in all of His claims. And in that faith, we're willing to change our lives, to make a turnaround. That's what the Bible calls repentance, Luke 13 and verse 3. And once that hurdle is cleared, we're willing then to confess Him as being the Son of God, Acts 8 and verse 37. And then we submit completely to Him by being buried with the Lord in baptism for the forgiveness of our sins. You see, Jesus issues a challenge today to people who want this hope. We're desperate for that hope. And He issues a challenge to all of us who want that hope. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14, verse 15. Jesus said, if any man wants to come after me, Matthew 16, verse 24, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And that's a challenge. And yet it's something we must do in order to have that hope. And so the Pharisees, the scribes, tried to insult our Lord, but He was paid a great compliment. They said, this man receives sinners, and he eats with them. And it's wonderful to know what our Lord has done to save us and to receive us as sinners tonight. So I ask you this question as we close, a very important question. Has our Lord received you? There's no one beyond His grasp, but if you've not obeyed the gospel, Christ will receive you if you will but obey Him. Or if you've lost your focus, you've lost your desire, you're no longer really trying to put the Lord first, there's some things in your life that need to be corrected, you can come tonight as well as we sing this song of encouragement. And so if you need to come, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.